Hi everybody, welcome back. Sorry for the late start. Actually, even then you can't see what's going on. Homework one is due on Wednesday, so if you have a chance to look at it over the weekend and you have any questions, this would be a good time to ask for clarifications or comments. If I can't answer the question because I didn't want to blast it to everybody, then I'll just tell you to talk offline. Otherwise, I'll answer what I can. So I thought I saw a hand go up. Yeah, go ahead.
For
Number one. Oh, so I think all the homework answers go in the same place, which will be either you type them into Sakai in a, there's a little text window that comes up, or you can create a file and then upload it to Sakai. But that question is, should be just like all the others. You put one dot and then whatever your answer is. Does that seem right? Monica, does that seem right? I'm not sure. The first one is the... I don't remember what the first question was.
Does Flashback have an impossible
one? Yeah, and then does it tell you to... Does it actually ask you anything?
What
yeah, okay, so then just in words, just say what it is. You can't do it through the Scratch site, if that's what you want. Some people are having trouble with Scratch. I'm hoping it's not most people. I hope it's just a few. The people who run the Scratch site try real hard to make this so that it's universally available, but it does depend on some aspects of Java on your computer, so if it's installed in a way that they don't expect, it might do weird things. But that's why the question one is called Scratch Check, because I want to see who can actually run this and who can't, because that's what I've been using as the test environment. Last semester I used Python, and to run Python you actually had to go to the Python website, download Python, and install it on your computer. So I'm hoping this is actually much smoother, because you just go to the Scratch site, and it either works or it doesn't. But hopefully it actually works. Anything else? You good? That is, yeah, go ahead.
For number five, where it says invent the name for this logic here.
Yes. Just, there isn't really a wrong answer, but just show that you understand what it's doing by giving it a meaningful name. You could call it Fred or something like that, but that would prove nothing to us. But if you name it somehow with what it seems to be doing, then that would indicate that you have some grasp of it.
Right.
I think Monica tends to be pretty, we just want to see what you do. It's not a technical question. Like, I wouldn't ask that on the final, because there's nothing I can really grade there, but be creative. Lindsay, yes?
I have a specific question about number three.
Number three, okay.
We have a bar code. The last number, I think, is C, S, or ABC,
okay.
The last one, what's the, I have, part of the formula to do that, when you have, you have the number, then plus 3x, what do you do?
So,
I have it in my notes, but then I guess I didn't finish it.
I'm not sure how to say it. Ask me by email.
Okay.
Or come up after. Because I think it was just step through an example and then it's clearer. It could be 3x plus y equals 0 mod 10. Or it could be 3x equals y mod 10, depending on exactly how you're defining x and y. So if we set for an example, it'll be clear. Okay, good. Any questions about D? Without saying what the answer is, did anybody figure out what I meant by this? It's like a word puzzle. Okay then. So it's like a word puzzle. So if you've answered the first three correctly, there's a word. Each one of them has a word that fits into a category. There's one category, and each of them has a word from that category. But that category has four things in it, and I've given you three of them. I just want you to tell me what the fourth thing in the category is. If you've gotten them, then you might be able to see it. You're not going to give anything away, right? Okay.
I'm just thinking I might have missed a little point there, and I already submitted the thing. So is it, change my answer? That's kind of far-fetched.
Do you know what it would be? Do you have
no,
it?
No, I don't.
If you think about it and you know the right answer, then let us know.
Okay.
I don't. It's sort of a moot point if you don't actually have a better one than what you submitted. I mean, Again, this is like that other one. I'm just curious as to how your minds work, right? This isn't something that you're going to learn in this class and you're going to do in this class, but it's sort of a fun payoff. After you've done all the annoying computation of looking up these codes, then it turns out there's sort of a little clever thing that brings it all together. If you don't like it, you don't have to like it. It's okay. It's mostly for me anyway. Go ahead.
It's just one word, right?
No, well, if you these three things... These three items have something in common. Give the name of an item that could complete the list of four. So one way to do it is to figure out what that... You could just tell the one word. Or you could come up with something that looks like the other three that has that word in it. That would be sort of one step more clever. There are such things in the world that fit that answer. I checked. I'll reveal all soon. If this is all very cryptic to you, don't worry. Shoot.
I think it's like number five, the one where you show the... the power source, is it flowing through, you know, where the...
Power source just is like a one, it's like true. So those are true no matter what.
Yeah.
Not dependent on A and B.
But
yeah.
Is that power flowing through the...
Sorry, this one goes to this wire. That one goes to this, so the first wire is an A, the second one is a power source. Third one is B, fourth one's a power source.
Yeah.
Hold on, what? So
there's four wires sticking out the side of the box.
Yeah.
The first wire is what we're calling A. So that can either be true or false, depending on if A is true or false. The second one is always true. That's what power source means. There's always power flowing through it. It's true. The third one is B. It's either true or false, depending on what B is. And the last one is always true.
So those two switches that are operable,
the power is flowing through the one that is...
The ones where there's switches.
Yeah.
The other ones are flowing through the top part of the relay, which controls that switch. All right? We good? Yes?
So the power source is always...
always true, always on. Yeah. I could have just put like true or one. But literally, when you set this up, it just goes to the battery. Right? You just connect that wire to the battery, so there's always something going through it. Okay, all right, so the next thing, I need your help with something. So in a couple lectures, I'm gonna try to teach you a little bit about how Google does what it does. And to do this, it turns out it's really useful if we can come up with a word that Google doesn't know. In other words, a query that we can give Google that returns zero hits. And it could be one word, it could be two words. I found a two-word one recently that I was surprised about. So is it clear what I need help with? All right, so... All right, so here's Google. Actually, Google too fat at the moment. Or actually, the web page is too fat. All right, good. All right, so I'm going to type stuff in here, and we want something that has zero hits. And just, you know, shorter is better. And cleverer is better, but only aesthetically. Does anyone, give me something to search for. Go ahead.
Frasmatic,
like that. All right. Who thinks that this will have a hit? In fact, it has 31 hits and suggests an alternate spelling. Perhaps I meant phrasmatic. So phrasmatic is not going to do, but good try. Google's so funny. And each year, it knows more stuff, so it's hard to keep ahead of the Google curve. Just think laterally. It's just nonsense. I'm just looking for just garbage. It doesn't have to be a real word. Yeah.
G-A-N-G-L-I? Yeah.
Oh, definitely that's a hit.
Yeah,
234,000 ganglia. And it's very similar to ganglia, which is, by the way, the plural of ganglia. See, this is hard. It's harder than it looks.
Lanky?
Like that?
Yeah,
that's an actual English word. Not only does it have almost 2 million hits, but you can click here and get the definition of lanky. Or you can go to lankymusic.com. We can add suffixes on the end of this, like lankiest. That's
the most lanky.
Yeah, most lanky. Now Google's getting
out of me on it.
Seriously? Why are you asking me to do this? Wow. Now I'm gonna ask you to do it again.
Start.
There we go. Thank you. Oh, only 1,000 minutes. Yes?
The word that you said the first thing.
What was it?
Tukipak?
Did I say that? It sounds like me. Tukipak? I don't know how to spell it. Tukipak, like that? That's promising. Yes! Tukipak, well done. All right, so now here's what I gotta do. I gotta scroll this away, and I'm gonna put it on a web page so that Google will learn about this. And eventually we're gonna wonder, how did it come to learn about Tukipak? But that will be for another time. Because, you know, what you mean. All right. People have been great about emailing me their clickers. I'm down to just a handful of people, if I can fit these people in my hand. So if you're one of these people, please either see me right after or send me an email with your clicker ID. Other than that, things, you know, we're whittling down the set of people who we don't know. We've also, now we've got the all the clicker questions, though I'm not sure if the last lecture is done yet. Not yet. Almost all the lectures, the clicker questions are also available in Sakai, so if you didn't come to class and you want to get credit for that class, you know, listen to the podcast and then answer the questions online. It'll count as if you were here. Yes?
What if you came in like late and we missed the question, you should still go on?
Then you don't have to listen to the podcast. Presumably you'll have the information you need to. Actually, usually the questions are based on the previous lecture. So, yeah, if you went to the previous lecture and then want to answer the next questions, it's not a problem.
Is there any simple way to know which questions we have and have not answered?
There will be, but there is not yet.
Okay.
So Sakai, in its infinite wisdom, it does some things really well, but this is one thing that they know they've not done well and they haven't had a chance to fix yet. In particular, what they can't do is take the questions that have been answered online and let us edit them to add in the questions that were answered with the clickers. Once you've answered them online, no, sorry, the problem is if you haven't answered them online, we can't change them. If you have answered them online, we can change them. So if you haven't answered online, that's exactly when we want to put in your other scores, but Sakai won't let us do that. So we have a workaround, but it's not been implemented yet. But the plan is certainly by the midterm, you'll be able to look and see which of the lectures you've got your credit for so far and which ones you haven't, and presumably that should be a, you know, spur you to go and fill in the ones that you haven't done yet. It should be, it'll be more obvious, it's just not yet. Okay?
Good?
Good?
Good.
All right, so let me ask a couple quicker questions. Let's see what we've got. And then we'll get back to binary numbers. All right, so, yeah, sure, we can just reinforce your truth tables. So which of these formulas corresponds to this truth table? About 10 more seconds. The X and the Y column are the inputs, and the Z column, that's the output. And if you notice, right, so remember the table has all combinations of values for X and Y, but Z, it only lists what the output is for each of those combinations. So Z is only true in the case when X is false and Y is true. And in fact, if you ever look in the right-hand column and there's just one true there, it's probably an and kind of situation, right? And so it's x, when x is false and y is true. So x is false, that's not x. Y is true, that's y. So not x and y. So that is, in fact, choice E. All right? Any other questions about that? Anything I can clarify? I think we're clearer now. Okay, I'll move on to the next one.
Oh, yes. Just in general, when you do things like this, x and y by themselves represents true as in it is x.
Yes, what you mean is...
If you have x and y...
If the formula was like z is x and y, like that?
I mean, like, the x and y just stand for true in general, like they stand for is x...
Yeah, so x, just x by itself is true when x is true.
Yeah. Okay.
Not x is true when x is false. So you can think of that also as being x equals false. Yeah, so right, when x all by itself is kind of like saying x equals true, question mark? Like that. All right. Sure. Just as curious as the next guy. So here, the circuit is being represented a little differently. Instead of as a textual formula, it's now like a circuit, like information flowing through it with AND gates and NOT gates. And so now the question is, if x and y are the inputs and it flows through, what value does z take as a function of x and y? Now, you can write it as a formula, but you could also write it as a truth table. So the question is, which of these truth tables correspond to what this circuit would do? And one way to check that is just to ask yourself, okay, well, if x and y are both false, what would happen? What would z be? And that's the first line of the table. If x is false and y is true, push it through and see what the next line would be. And you should be able to whittle down which one is the right answer from that. So all right, so what's really going on here? So at the very end, two things are getting ORed together. What are those two things? Well, one is x and y. That's the upper AND box there. It's taking both x and y in and produces x and y out, the logical AND of them. So this z is going to be true if x and y are both true. That we know for sure. So that means if you look at these tables, it can't be A or B. It has to be C. Either C is the answer or D is the answer, because those are the two that have, when X and Y is true, Z is true. What is the difference between those two tables? It's the case when X is true and Y is false. So what happens when X is true and Y is false? So that first AND box is going to take a true and a false, and the AND of those is going to be false. So coming down that upper wire there, across, that's false. But what else is happening? This not here is not y. Y goes in and the negation of y comes out. In this case, y is false. So true is going to come out of that not gate. And then this AND gate is going to take true, and it's going to take the x, which is also true. So you're going to get true and true, which is true. And that goes into the OR, so the output will be true. So it's answer C is the only one that has the trues in the right places for this particular circuit. Now, did you find this easier or harder than when it was written out with ANDs and ORs and variables? Do you like it better with the... I found this harder, too. Just trying to keep track of what was going on inside of it and remembering the lines of the table was kind of irritating. So, all right. But more people got this one right than the previous one. I assume it's some kind of, you got to get warmed up. That's how I'm going to interpret it. Anyway. Correct me if I'm wrong. All right. I talked last time about an equal gate that takes two bits of input and it returns true if those bits are the same and false otherwise. So it says whether or not they have the same value, same truth value. And I talked about generalizing that to an equal 5 gate, which takes 5 bits of input, or two groups of 5 bits as input, and compares, make sure that it only returns true if the first two bits match, and the second two, and the third two, and the fourth two, and the fifth two. But you can generalize this to an equals gate with any number of bits for input. We'll call that an equal k gate if there's k bits of input. And so how does an equal k gate work? It has 2k inputs, two groups of k, and one output bit, and it returns true if the first group of bits is equal to the second group of bits. And here's how you make such a thing. You need a 1 AND K gate, and an AND K gate consists of K minus 1 AND gates, and you need K equals gates, and each equal gate, each of those K equal gates, has 2 AND gates, 2 NOTs, and 1 OR. So now the question is, how many AND gates do you need altogether if you're going to make an equal K gate? Some of those AND gates are going to come from one place, some from another place, but if you added them all up, how many would there be? As a function of K. Yeah, ignore the stuff on the bottom. That's not actually an answer. Let's see what we got here. So here's how I read this question. So we're trying to build an equal k gate. It takes k one group of k bits as input, another group of k bits as input is going to produce one bit as output, and inside of it consists of k copies of the equal gate. Each one takes two bits in and one bit out. The output of all those goes to, oh, this is an AND k gate. Alright? So now the question is, where are the AND gates? There's some are in here, and some are in each of these boxes. Okay? How many are in this box? So let's see what it says. It actually tells us an AND k gate consists of k minus 1 AND gates. So right, so there's k minus 1 AND gates in that box. Now we could, you know, we could rip off the top and look in, and that's what we would see. Each of these equal boxes has some number of AND gates also. How much is in each of these equal boxes? So each equal gate consists of two ANDs, two NOTs, and one OR. So there's two AND gates inside each equal box. But there's k equal boxes. So how many AND gates are there altogether in all those equal boxes? There's k of them, and each one has 2 in it. 2k, right? So when we add them all up, we get 2 times k from the equal boxes plus k minus 1 from the AND k box, which gives us 3k minus 1. We're just adding those two things together. Okay? So it was just, yeah, it's just a question of multiplying the number of AND gates in each of these boxes times the number of this type of box plus the number of AND gates in this type of box times the number of boxes, which was 1. We just added all of them up because that's where all the AND gates are. We've counted for all of them. So yeah, so the slightly preferred answer of B is in fact what I was looking for. Right, anything I can do to clarify that? This was a huge stumbling block in previous years. The first time I asked this question in the other classes, it didn't look nearly that definitive. And even this is not entirely definitive, so half the class was still kind of fuzzy on it. So I can ask more of these. I'm not going to do it now. But if there's anything I can say that would kind of get you on track, let me know. Okay, then. I want to help. Only so much one can do. All right, so this is what we're going to be practicing. Wait. Oh, that's okay. I don't think I did anything. This is what we're going to be practicing today, but I did kind of explain in the video how this works. So let's see how much time I need to spend on it today. So this is a number in binary, 1100100. It's got a nice rhythm. You can dance to it. And the question is, in normal base 10 everyday decimal number system, what is that? Four, three, two, one, stopping. slight preference for B, even slighter than last time. We've got answers across the board. All right, that's okay. We haven't practiced this yet. All right. So let's do this one, and then we'll get on to the lecture. So, in the Academy Award-winning movie, The Octopus is Counting, the octopus had a tentacle for each power of two, and depending on which ones it raised, that helped represent the number that it was using. So, in particular, going left to right, it had the tentacle that was worth 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, and 128. That's 8 tentacles give you 8 bits. Does anybody remember what 8 bits was? $2. No.
What 8 bits is.
At one point I said, oh, 8 bits, that's a byte. Yeah, like with a Y. So, you know, each octopus is 1 byte. I guess a kilobyte would be 1,000 octopuses. Like that. All right. So in this case, the octopus has the 8 tentacle, the 64 tentacle, and the 128 tentacle up. So the total that represents is 128 plus 64 plus 8. So that's 16 plus 4 is 20. 6, 8, 10, 200. So that was the most popular of the answers, but there was no majority answer. All right, so now I guess that's all I was going to say about converting from binary. I can go back and do it again. No, not the video. No, anything for that. Bad. Hang on a second. There you go. Did somebody say a good question? What I heard? What? Well, let's watch the video again. Maybe at the end, if you're still excited about it. I'm very proud of it, so I'm happy to show it again. But let's make sure that we can make some progress first. So is this sort of clear? So this is the sort of, I should have looked to see which wrong answers people put. But one of the common errors is to number the bits in the wrong direction. Like call this 1, call this 2, call this 4, 8, 16. Go left to right, but you really need to go right to left. It's just like our regular numbers, right? When you write a number like 513, when you write 513, this is the ones position, right? This is the least significant digit. This is the most significant, this is the hundredth digit. If we added more, then we add them to the left, right? Each time we include another digit, we're actually adding one to the left. What if we take a number, a decimal like this, and we stick a zero after it? What do we do to the value?
Increase
more specifically.
By
a factor of 10. You multiply it by 10. Same trick works in binary, sort of. So if I stick a zero at the end of this binary number, what do I do to that binary number? I don't multiply it by 10.
By power of two.
Yeah. Each zero we stick in the end multiplies it by two. So let's try this. Keep in mind that there were 3 zeros at the end, but I'm going to get rid of them for the moment. All right. So here's a number. What is this in binary? Sorry. This is you say 11001. Yeah. Sorry. What is this in decimal? This is a binary number. What is it in decimal? This is which place is this? This is the 1's place, the 2's place, the 4's place, the 8's place, and the 16's place. So what do we got? We got 116 and 18. That's 24, plus 1 more is 25. So this is 25 in decimal. Okay? So what happens? So we're at 25. Now we stick a 0 at the end. What happens to it? You could redo it all again, or you could realize it multiplies it by 2. So that goes up to 50. All right. Stick another 0 at the end. It goes up to 100. Stick another 0 at the end. It goes up to 200. It's the same answer that we got, but we got it in a different way this time. We took 25 and we multiplied it by, 8, as it turns out. Okay. So, anything I can clarify about? See, to me it just seems really simple at this point, right? You can do any binary number, and all you have to do is say, 1's place, 2's place, 4's place, 8's place. You just figure out which positions have 1's in them, and just add those position numbers up. So I feel like there's not much more for me to say about it. But if you feel foggy on it, I can run another example. Would that help?
Yeah.
Anybody feel like that would help if I ran another example? You'd like to see another example? Can you help me with, give me a binary number? No, that's too hard. You know, because what? No, come on. Just yell out random ones and zeros.
One.
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 One. 0. Okay, good. That's fine. The more ones, the more annoying it is to do it. All right, 1, 1, 1, 0. So this is the ones place, twos place, fourth place, eighth place, and now we add up the ones that have ones in them. 8 plus 4 plus 2 is 14. So that's 14 in decimal. In some ways, this is the easy direction to go, starting with the binary number, because it's really just adding powers of 2 together. The cute thing is that any integer that you want can be formed by the sum of powers of 2. That's kind of neat. It's not completely obvious why that would be, right? In fact, what we're going to do in a moment is kind of go through that process. Take a number and show how we can write it out in binary as a sum of powers of 2. But again, I want you to be comfortable with this before we go on. Are we good? Yes.
So could you also, in trying to figure out what that number is, so that is excuse regard to 0.
Yes. Yeah, so what do you get? If you get rid of the 0, 1, 1, 1 is 7.
Yeah.
Put the 0 on, it goes to 14. Hey, it worked again. I think why I like to do this stuff is because I never cease to be surprised that it actually works. Part of me is saying, oh no, it won't work this time. Hey, it worked again. it just never ceases to amuse me. All right. Okay, we good? We good? More or less? I will give more practice on these as we go, but you know, don't hesitate to add. This really is very simple, but it doesn't mean that it's obvious the first time you see it. It may take a little while to kind of settle into your brain, and if there's something I can help with that, just you know, don't be embarrassed. We don't usually think in binary. All right, so here's what I'd like to do next. Let's see. I'm actually going to use whatever's in my pocket. All right, so I've got... Oh, perfect. All right. I've got 74 cents in my pocket. All right. And I'll say, as it turns out, I have the minimum number of coins that it takes to make 74 cents. And what I'd like to do now is have you guys figure out, assuming you didn't see, what do I actually have in my pocket? This seems like it could go in a very bad direction, right? Hey, my professor today played the game, guess what's in my pocket? No, that's not what I'm saying. What coins do we need to add up so we get 74 cents? So, but you do this all the time. This is making change, right? So if you're going to make 74 cents, what do you get? Yeah, we're going to use the fewest amount of coins possible. It's the natural thing. What do we do? Go ahead. Do you have your hand partly up? Help me out. Yeah, no, I know you may not have wanted the same thing, but I need your help anyway. Yeah.
Oh.
Help me make change. That's all I'm asking.
Okay, 74 cents.
Yeah.
Change, like
money. I have it in my pocket right now.
two quarters. Two dimes.
And four pennies. Or looking at it another way, these are, you know, 0.25. Let's do it in cents. 25, 10, and 1. You can think of this as a number in a very weird base, the coin base. The coin base actually turned out to be a horrible base for lots of reasons. But you nevertheless, we're used to thinking in it. So two 25s, two 10s, zero nickels, right? So there's kind of zero nickels in here. Which I can't write. You'd think, my name is Michael, I should be able to do a nickel. All right, so two 25s, two 10s, zero 5s, and four 1s, right? And as it turns out, we've got
penny, 1, 2, 3, 4, two dimes, and 2 quarters. Well done. You've made a mess of everything. All right, so that kind of thinking will actually help us convert numbers from decimal into binary.
Binary is like coins, except instead of having quarters and dimes and nickels and pennies, you've got all the different powers of 2 available. And you either need one of them or zero of them. You never need 4 anything in binary. So it is a lot simpler in a lot of ways. Also, the other problem with these coin things is that You can make the same amount in two very different ways, which is very irritating. So, all right, so that's our 74 cents. Now let's do it in binary. We'll do 74 in binary. So here's the game. Again, you should do, remember how you started from quarters. You start from the big denomination and you work your way down. So we're going to break 74 into powers of 2, sums of powers of 2. So what's the first power of 2 that we can take out of this to make change? Yes, we can do a 64. All right, so we've got 164. Now what's left? We've got 10 more that we need to kind of pay out of pocket here. Actually, let me flip this around. 164, started with 74, took away 64, we've got 10 more to go. All right, so now we've got to count down all the different place values. If we're doing a binary number in this direction, what's the next place value over? What goes next to the 64? 32. 32, nice. How many 32s do we have?
Zero.
None. All right, what's next?
16.
16, how many 16s do we have?
Seven.
Seven?
Seven.
Several?
Zero.
Zero. I was wondering where you got 7 from. That really made no sense at all. All right, yes, that's exactly right. We've got 0 16s. What's the next place value?
8.
How many 8s do we have? We have 1 of those. All right, what's left? 2. All right, what's the next place value?
4.
How many of those do we have?
No.
How many 2s? Oh, sorry, what's next? 2. How many 2s?
1.
All right, and what's the last place? 1. How many 1s do we have? None left. All right, so the claim is that if we take this binary number and convert it back into decimal, we should get 74. So let's check it. We got the 1's place, the 2's place, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. We got 164 plus 8 gives us 72 plus 2 gives us 74. It worked. I'll even put a little check mark as it happens. All right. All right, so that's... that's what we're doing now. That's what this little story on the slide should be about. So to go from decimal to binary, start with the biggest power of 2, no bigger than your number, right? You can't start, if you're trying to make 22 cents, you can't start with quarters. There's no quarters in it. You have to start with the next one smaller. Write down a 1, subtract the power of 2 from your number. So we started with 74, we took the 64 out of it, leaving us with 10. Cut the power of 2 in half. So we went from 64 to looking at the 32's place. If your remaining number is larger than the power of 2, larger than or equal to, write down a 1 and subtract the power of 2. If not, you write down a 0, and you just keep repeat by cutting the power of 2 in half until you get down to 1. Okay, that's just what we did to convert 74 to binary. Here's another bit like making change. All right, so here's a concrete example. Let's say we're doing 651. So the first power of 2 that's no larger than 651 is 2 to the 9th, which is 512. We take 512 out of 651 and we get 139. The next smaller power of 2 is 256. There's none of those. The next smaller power of 2 is 128. There's one of those, leaving us with 11. The next smaller power of 2 is 64. None of those. No 32s, no 16s, but we do have an 8. Because we're converting 11. 11 minus 8 is 3, so now we've got 3 more to go. No powers of 4, sorry, no 4s in it. 1, 2, and 1, 1 gives us the 3 we're looking for. So the number that we got out of this is 101-000-1011. 101-000-1011. That's 655 and 651 in decimal. Alright? Is this clear now? Sort of. Should I do another one? Maybe you should do one. I can do a quicker question on it. Would that help? Yeah, let's do that. Let's do one on a piece of paper so that you can't just go, yes, 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 I have no idea what you're talking about. Eighty-eight. All right, so that means I can, you can officially now laugh at this joke. Right? It's 2, right? We know that now. It's not 10. It just looks like 10. It's 2. There are 2 kinds of people in the world. Those who understand binary and those who don't. All right. So, yeah, so the correct answer for this one was D. This number, by the way, is 88. That's an 8, and that's an 8, but that's not how you make 88 in binary. This number is what you get if you did it completely backwards. This is what you get if you started to do it but maybe didn't put enough zeros on. This is the right answer, and that's just 8 ones. Because, you know, at some point I just give up and I can't think of anything else. All right, so is that cool? So most people got that right, which is great. But if you didn't get it right, it doesn't mean that you'll never get it right. It just means maybe you have a question. Okay, moving on. The next thing we're going to do is, now that we can take a number in decimal and turn it into binary, we can take numbers in binary and turn them into decimal, we can just move back and forth between them, we can now add binary numbers together. Now, why would we want to do this? Well, in some sense, maybe we wouldn't, right? You could solve this really quickly right now, or somewhat quickly now, by taking those 2 binary numbers, converting them to decimal, adding them in decimal, and then turning them back into binary, because you know all those steps. Right, you can add decimal numbers. You've been doing that for many years. It turns out, though, that computers often will represent numbers in binary, and when they add numbers together, it doesn't help to convert them to decimal. In fact, it's much simpler to add them in binary. So what I'd like to do is convince you that adding 2 numbers in binary is actually simpler than adding 2 numbers in decimal once you know how it goes. In fact, it's almost remarkable that they don't teach kids to count in binary, because it would be so much easier. You know, fingers notwithstanding. So here's what we're going to do. Just like we do in school, just like we do when we're adding in decimal, we go right to left, and we put our carries up as we go. But the math facts are a little different. But they're simpler. They're so much simpler than what you get in decimal. So 0 plus 0 is 0, or 0 plus 0 plus 0 is 0. 0 plus 0 plus 1 is 1. 0 plus 1 plus 1 is 2, but in binary that's 1, 0. That's 0, carry the 1. Right? So if you're adding 0, 1, and 1, you get 2, but you can't write 2. That would be not okay. You have to write 0, carry the 1. That's 2. Just like 10, when you get, you know, 5 plus 5, you get 10. 0, carry the 1 to make it 10. This is 0, carry the 1 to make it 2. And 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 3. You don't need me to tell you that, but we write that in binary as 1, 1, right? So it's 1, carry the 1. So now we should be ready with just these facts to go and add these 2 numbers together. So what's the very first thing we need to do? Where do we start? Start on the right side, yeah. And what?
1 plus 0.
1 plus 0, and the answer is
1.
Beautiful. So we put the 1 right there. So far, so good. All right. Now comes the first, even somewhat interesting thing. The next thing that we add is 1 plus 1, which would be 2, but we write it as 1, 0, and the way we do it in the addition problem, sorry, I'm in that shirt. Some very confused person in area code 8188 right now. All right, so the 1, 1 is, so what do we write? We can't put a 2 underneath there. We put a 1 on the top and a 0 underneath. So it's, we put the 0 in and we carry the 1. So we put the 0 down. Oh, apparently that's not going to work. Hello? Excuse me? No, I'm sorry. Oh, Michael. It's pronounced Michael, not Mitchell. I really can't talk right now because I'm in the middle of a lecture with like 7 people. Sure, bye. Apparently, was it not a confused person? It was a person who completely ignored me. All right, so here we are at the critical juncture of adding binary numbers, and random people are interrupting. So yes, so we do the 0, and then we carry the 1, and now we're good to go. What's next after this? 1, 0, 0. Right? We add those together, we get 1, so we just put the 1 in there. Then we get 0 plus 0 is 0. We get 1 plus 1 is 0, carry the 1. Oops, it went too fast. 0, carry the 1. Oh, I see, animated to carry the 1 with a delay. Alright, now we've got 1 plus 1 plus 1. So what do we write underneath? Yeah, it's kind of like an 11. We put a 1 underneath, and then we carry the 1. Now we've got...
So 0 plus 1.
We get, 1 plus 1 plus 0, which is 2, so that's 0, carry the 1. We got 1 plus 0 plus 1, that's also 2, so it's 0, carry the 1. And we're done! Right? So now we have 0, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, plus... 10110010 obviously is 10010001. So, which maybe is not very satisfying until we go through the exercise of actually checking it. So now we say, all right, what's this first number? We know how to do this now. There's a one in the ones place, the twos place, 1, 2, 4, 8, the 16, 32, and 64. What does that add up to? 64 plus 32. 115, correct. All right, the next one. 2's place, 16, 32, and 128. Nice, all right. And we can add those together. What, did you have it written down someplace? Is it in the notes?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, well, what do they add up to?
293.
And so this should be 293. 128 plus, let's see, 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. Plus 4 plus 1. 293! See, it worked. No, I mean, you can actually check it. It really actually worked. Very cool. Alright, and so that's one way to check that you did the right thing. But really, if you follow the steps, the algorithm for adding binary numbers together, everything works out. Alright, so any other questions about that? So you should be able to try those examples on your own, and you can check them on your own, too. I'll do a clicker question on this next time, but I won't do it right now. But again, you're just working right to left, and you just have to remember, you can't write it 2. You have to write it as 0, carry the 1. Okay? Great. So we can also do subtraction. The animations are great, except they're annoying. Here we go. All right. So what about subtraction? So now subtraction is a little bit more of a pain, but it's a little bit more of a pain in decimal too. So this isn't worse than decimal, but it is still sort of a pain. So as in decimal, we're going to proceed right to left, and we're going to have to borrow if we're trying to subtract a bigger number from a smaller number. Right. So we start off. Well, we look and we can see the number on the top is bigger than the number on the bottom, right? How do you know that? It's got more digits. The leading digit is higher out. So, actually, that's probably not a bad question. I give you two numbers in binary. Can you tell me which one is bigger? It's more or less the same test. Actually, if you just think of them as being in decimal, you get the right answer. So, yeah, the number on top is bigger than the number on the bottom. So we start off right to left. 1 minus 0. 1. Okay. 0 minus 1. We borrow. So we're going to borrow from the nearby one. We're going to borrow from that the one right next to it. So how do we do that? We kind of cross it out, make it a 0, and then move the 1 over to the other side. So now we've got 10 minus 1, that's 9. Oh, 2 minus 1. 2 minus 1. 1, 0, we're in binary land, is not 10, it's 2. So 2 minus 1 is 1. So that's the step. We need to borrow from the column 1 over. There it goes. Turn it into a 0, put the little 1 over it, and now we've got 1, 0 minus 1, which is 1. 2 minus 1 is 1, so we can just write it in. Now, what's the next one? It's 0 minus 0, which gives us 0. The one after it, 0 minus 0, gives us 0 again. Now we've got 0 minus 1, so we'll borrow again. And so 2 minus 1 is 1. All right. So now we've got 0 minus 1 again, right? So and there's no one nearby to borrow from. So you do need to borrow all the way up. Now there's a couple ways to do this, and people do it differently in decimal also, I've noticed, since I've been trying to teach this stuff. You can try to borrow from that 0 and make it a negative 1,
but you're going to really get yourself confused. So really, the way to think about this is you borrow from the 100. That's I think that's probably the easiest way to think about it. So you borrow from the 100, which makes it a 011, and then we can move the carry over. So we cross out the 100 and turn it into 011. That's one less. What is 100 in binary? It's 4. All right. So we had a 4, and we borrowed from it. We turned it into a 3, which is 011. Okay. So now we've got 011. We can bring that little bit over. So now we've got, they're getting crowded, but the 10 minus the 1 gives us 1. 1 minus 0 gives us 1. The 1 minus 1 gives us 0. Nope. Well, we were done at that point. I just didn't realize it yet. That. All right? Because the leading zeros, you can write down the leading zeros, but just like in decimal, they don't do anything. They're just there to take up space, right? Like 077 is 77. So 00111001 is 1110011. All right. So what is this number? Actually, I guess we don't have them converted. But anyway, that's the end of that subtraction problem. That's what we end up getting. And should we check it? Would anyone feel more happy if we checked it?
We're good.
All right. Thanks for being so honest. Hurrying it up. All right. The next thing I'd like to do is point out there's a cute trick that comes up because of the way. Oh, before I do that, this is sort of interesting. Did anybody notice this? What is that? Do you have a guess? Or you know what it is? No. You want to know what it is? Okay. We do have some guesses. All in the back. It's a kind of binary counter. Yes. Look how often it changes.
It's a clock.
Oh. Now, it is not a proper binary clock. And in fact, they will sell it to you as if it were a proper binary clock. It is not, and we can scoff at them, it is not a proper binary clock. It is, in fact, a binary-coded decimal clock. The distinction being the following. This is actually 88 in binary-coded decimal. In binary-coded decimal, you take a decimal number like 88, and you represent each of the digits using 4 bits. Because you need 4 bits because 10 binary is that. All right? So in the overflow, instead of using the other binary bits, it then says, no, we'll just start a whole new block of binary. One to represent this 8 and one to represent this 8. This is not how you write 88 in binary. This is, but according to this clock, it's this kind of system. There's 4 bits per clock position. So let's figure out what time it is. All right. So the first column has 2 bits in it. If we work this out, it turns out I've gone over time. No, I don't think I have. All right. So there's 2 bits in the first position. They're both off at the moment, so that's a 0. The next position's got 4 bits. I'll write it this way. Next one's got 4 bits, and it currently has 0100. 0100. What's 0100 in decimal?
4.
4. All right, so this is a 0. This is a 4. The next position has 3 bits in it, and currently only the middle one's on. Can people actually see it in the back? It's glowy, but you might not be able to see the ones that are off. All right, so 010 in binary is a 2. All right, what's next? 4 bits, and the second to top one is on. Same as this one. Another 4. It just switched. When we get down to the seconds, this is going to get really irritating. So presumably, check me if I'm right, it should be off, on, off, on now. Is that right? Can you tell in the front row?
Well, it just switched again.
No. Seriously, it took me a minute to do that? So now it's off, on, on, off? Maybe you're looking at the wrong one. Yeah, it was 5. It was this one.
that's a 5. Then there's another 3 bits and then 4 bits. 3 bits and then 4 bits. The time is 4:25 and some number of seconds. Right? So you see why this isn't proper binary, right? They're just taking each digit of the clock and writing it in binary. It's still kind of weird and cryptic, and I don't know why anyone would want such a thing, but it is a novelty item. This belongs to Ari, the second TA. Why does this position only have 3 bits? What's the biggest number that can appear at this position in a time? Can you have a 6 here?
No.
No.
7?
No. 5. Right, so you can, it's like 0, 4, 2, 5, 5, 9, like 59 seconds. Then it goes to, it doesn't go to 60, though it becomes zeros and then the minutes position increments. Right? So the biggest number you can have here is 5. How many bits do you need to represent 5? Well, how do you write 5 in binary? It's got a 4 in it, and no 2s, and a 1. So you only need 3 bits to write a 5, so they didn't bother building an LED for the fourth position. This can only go up to 5, so they only needed 3 lights. This can go all the way up to 9, like in 59, and so they needed all 4 bits for that. 9 is 1001. So that's kind of cute. You might see this in the store sometime, and you'll go, oh, a binary coded decimal clock, how gauche.
So real binary clock, well, it depends what you'd be counting. I mean, so it could be, you might do the hours and minutes separately because they're not even proper decimal either. So it's not like it would be unfair to do that.
So then you have, let's think about this for a second. So if you wanted to code the hour, that can be anywhere from 0 to what? Presumably in a regular digital clock, what's the biggest number you can get in the hour position? 12? Yes. It always surprises me which things seem to take a lot of thought. Alright, and the minute position can go anywhere from 0 to 59. Alright, how many bits do we need to represent the number 0 to 12? What's the biggest, well, how do you represent 12 in binary? 12 is going to be, well, does it have any 16s in it? No. So it's got an 8 and a 4. And no 2s and no 1s. So we need 4 bits, just 4 bits, to represent the hour. And then how many for the minutes? What's the, how do you write 59 in binary? What's the largest power of 2?
32.
So we have got 32. That's 59 minus 32, 7 to 27. So 32, we have a 16 in it. And we have an 8 in it. And we don't have a 4, but we do have a 2 and a 1. So we need 6 bits to represent the minutes, and presumably another 6 bits if we want to do the seconds, because seconds are also 0 to 59, right? So that's 4, 6, 6 is 16 lights altogether, 16 bits. And how many did they use? 7, well, let's see. 4 is 12, plus another 6 is 18, no. 12 plus 6 is
18.
It is 18, okay. Plus another 2 is 20. So they use 20 lights, we really can get by with 16. They're over in here. But anyway, that would be a more proper binary clock. If they go up above 9s and 10s. It's kind of neat. Alright, so here's an interesting fact. So I talked about bytes before. Why are bytes so important? So it turned out that at some point, I don't know who came up with it. I could probably look it up. Somebody said, you know, having numbers if you're going to represent a number in binary, in a computer, you can't arbitrarily add digits to the front of it. It's helpful to be able to work with the bits in groups. And the groups that somebody chose were groups of 8. That's a byte. And it just so happened that it matched up with the octopus. That was the inspiration for choosing an octopus for counting binary, because that's the unit of lots of bits that most computers, or at least back in the day, were built in were groups of 8. So now what happens if you take, say, these two numbers in binary in a computer and add them together?
So we'll step through this just like we did before. So 1 plus 0 is 1. 1 plus 1 is 0, carry the 1. We get a 1 there, 0. 1 plus 1 is 0, carry the 1. 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 There's 9 bits in the answer. But if the designers of the computer only set aside 8 bits to store the numbers, where does this bit go? And if you don't know the answer, think about what happens in a car odometer. Or at least, I think they still work this way, right? When they build a car and they want to represent how many miles it's gone, they pick a number of digits. And each time the car goes another mile, like, you know, clunk, 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 clunk. What happens when it goes to all nines? What happens after that? It goes to zero after that, right? There should be a one, but there's no place for it. It just washes away. And so in computer binary addition, the same thing happens. This leading bit that should have been there, it just goes away. Some people say it gets dropped into the bit bucket. And so what you're left with, you add these two big numbers together and you get 5. Right? 1 plus 2 plus 4 is 5. No, sorry, 1 plus 4 is 5. Alright? So you add two big numbers together, you get 5. That's kind of weird. So that's unfortunate, and in fact, you have to be really careful when you do arithmetic on computers. If they've got a fixed number of bits set aside, you can sometimes get this condition, which is called overflow. You added some things together, a bit got lost, and the answer that you got is wrong. Now, did anybody are you old enough to remember when there was this big scare that computers, because they only represented things a certain way, were all of a sudden all going to break at the same moment? Right, right, right. So the fear was that somebody set aside exactly the number of positions in the number to represent the year up to 1999, and when it went to 2000, the fear was that the extra 2 would get dropped off the other side, and we'd go from 1999 to the year 1000, which would have really confused the bejeebers out of computers, right? They're like, hey, we went back in time, hey, I've got all this time left before I need to do anything, and, you know, it would just go catatonic. It didn't turn out so bad, actually. And so a lot of people were left feeling kind of silly. But nevertheless, you know, better be prepared than to be, you know, excluded someplace. So this overflow is a real issue, and you can write bad code that doesn't check for this sort of thing and ends up giving erroneous answers in some cases. So here's the interesting thing, though, that once you know that computers work this way, you can actually use this as a trick to subtract numbers. So let me show you how this works. So remember, in algebra, the additive inverse of x is the number y such that when you add them together, you get 0. Y equals minus x, right? So if you want to say, you have a number like 72, what's the additive inverse of that? It's negative 72, because 72 plus negative 72 gives you 0. Right, usually we think of it just sticking a negative sign in front of it, but really the way that it's mathematically defined is it gives us a way of canceling out a number. So, what if we tried to do that in fixed position binary? We've got 8 bits to represent a number. Let's say that this is our number, 01010011. Now we have no notion of negative numbers at the moment. But because of overflow, there actually is a number that we can add to this number to get 0. Not a real 0, but it actually shows up as 0 in the computer. How do we do that? Well, let's take this number and subtract it from 1 with 8 zeros after it. And we get this number here. All right? So this number plus this number equals this number. But if you're adding them together and you ignore overflow, add those two numbers together, you get, you know, the original number with the 1 in front of it, but that 1 is going to get dropped because of overflow. So what are you left with? 0. Right? So, in some sense, this number, the negative of this number, is this number. It's the number such that if you add them together, you get 0. It's weird, overflow 0, but it's still 0. And that gives us a way to do subtraction. So here's how it works. First, we have to know how to take a number and negate it. Now, one way to do it is with subtraction, the way I showed you before, but it turns out there's an even simpler way to do it. To find the negation of a number, flip all the bits and then add 1 to what you get. So we start off with this number, say 83, 01010011. Flip all the bits, turn the zeros to ones and the ones to zeros. So kind of, you know, black and white, mirror reverse kind of thing. So now we get 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 1, 0, 0. Okay? That happens to be the number 172. We're going to add 1 to that, and we get 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1. That gives us 173, but 173 has the property that if you add it to 83, you get, well, 0. You actually get, what, 256. But you can't represent 256 in 8 bits. The lead bit gets dropped, and you're left with 0. So that's we can take 83 and we can negate it. So what is subtraction? Subtraction, if you're taking x minus y, one way to do this is take y, take the negative of y, and add x to it. So that, yeah, okay, that, so that was the whole thing. So let's actually do that on one of these subtraction problems. Let's see. Here's a subtraction problem that we did already. I hear you. It says we're not quite done yet. I think. All right, so here's what I'm saying. If we have 1, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, and we're going to subtract from it minus 1, 0, 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 0. So here's what I'm saying. Take this number and compute the negative of it. How do we do that? We take it and we flip the bits, 0, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, and then we add 1 to it. And we get 0, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1, 1. Now, we just add these two guys. We add this one and this one together. And we ignore the overflow. Is this going to work? There might need to be another 1 in front of this to make them the same length. 1, 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 1. All right, add them together. We get 0, 1, 0, 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0, carry the 1, 1, 1, 0, carry the 1, but we get rid of the leading bit, and this should be our answer. That should be the subtraction of the two numbers we started with. And if you've got the notes, then you can see this faster than I can, but I'm hoping that it works out the same. Not looking the same at all. And now it's gone. All right, so I will have to fix that and explain that better next time. Let's see if there's one more thing to squeeze in. Not going to let you get away with it, all right. All right, now I'll start with multiplication next time. You've defeated me.
Hello. spell your last name?
Curia.
Why don't you tell me you're Alex Curio, and why don't you tell me you're FF3AD. Right, so you have clicked in class, but in fact, we're not on my roster. So what I'm going to have to do is, it's possible that when I got the roster list, things have been updated since then, that happens. Especially the side of the table.
Yeah, right.
All right, then... No problem. So I said then we got you.
Okay, and I also would want to be a copy of the Adam's thing.
Yes.
And
how's that going?
Yeah. I want to ask if you need that was first on the
back. Oh, okay, that's good for now. But now I have to look through the name, so I will come back to you if it doesn't show up.
Okay, good. So don't forget.
Great.
All right, thank you.
Sure. What do you got? Oh, did I drop? Oh, I did hear it hit the ground and I didn't see it.
Okay, yeah. Now I remember. All right. You're right.
Yeah. 74. Okay.
There's questions about the art for the art.
Yes.
It's
the word. No, it's the word in it that matters.
Oh, the word is the word.
Yeah.
And the name. Oh,
the actual title of it. That's right.
Oh, okay, all right. And for the video questions that you missed, they're under what? Because some days I was in.
Oh, okay, yeah, they're in Sakai. In quizzes and tests. I think I can show you. What you would have to go all
the way.
No, 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 okay, that number is.
But it'll be like, so we can all of them or.
I don't
remember.
We haven't. If you just do them all, it's fine. It's really not going
to be. Okay,
I'll tell you what's going to happen. In this country, there's going to be people who've done something for each of them, and they're all going to be
closed. Oh,
and
there's going to be
people who just spam the password, they just skip and never fill it in. And so, as long as you make sure that you don't look like you're in that group, you're going to be blended with everybody else, no matter how many questions you
have.
Some pieces is actually filling something for everything.
Oh, yeah.
So what we haven't done yet, and I got Monica
disappeared,
is to write some code, write a program that actually takes different files, files, and puts them together, and makes a unified list. And that program will have to care if you can both how to add them together. So if you do both, we'll have to deal with it. So it shouldn't hurt you. I will not allow it to hurt you. Yes, absolutely. No, thank you.
This is what I experienced in my past practice.
Oh, almost.
So then it should come up, and then whether you see the pattern or not is
okay. So I guess I'll put that. Okay, this one, I was
I submitted my
report.
I
Ultimately, you can actually just like email Sakai. So just so great.
Oh, should I do that?
But it's, no, it'd be nice. No, it'd be better if you can do it through Sakai.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
We have to be like.